VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today, coming your way from VCY America, and we have a news roundup Friday today. Lori's been very busy going through the news stories and trimming down and trimming down and trimming down. I still think I have too much here. Mary will be doing the phones for us today. We got Justin in the control room, and he's got all the transmitters operating, and so we're set to go as we look forward to sharing with you lots of news from around the country and around the world. Let's begin with this Fox News story, because this is certainly new news from the day. President Trump did sign a massive budget package early this morning, lift spending caps while funding the government through March 23rd. Yes, folks, we're going to go through this battle again, funding through March 23rd, ending a brief shutdown after a tumultuous night on Capitol Hill. On Twitter, the president touted the bill's billions in additional military spending. A just signed bill, he said, our military will now be stronger than ever before. We love and need our military and gave them everything and more. First time this has happened in a long time. It also means jobs, 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 the president tweeted. The House sent the $400 billion deal to his desk after approving it in the pre-dawn hours on a 240 to 186 vote. The Senate, this is from the Daily Signal, the Senate approved the deal by a vote of 71 to 28 about 1:30 this morning, followed by the House that passed a 240 to 186 about 5:30. The president then signed it early this morning. This is the second largest spending increase in a decade, second only to the Obama stimulus, which we all know was the biggest boondoggle that you can imagine, said Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio. In the end, 67 House Republicans voted no, as did 119 Democrats. Many of the Democrats had demanded amnesty for illegal immigrants to be part of this. The matter that was going on was in the Senate with Rand Paul, and I thought it would be worthy, if we can get the audio clip, for you to hear what Rand Paul had to say in just a brief clip as to why he was stalling on this matter in the U.S. Senate. Let's listen in to Rand Paul.
Much has been said that the military needs the money, and I believe in a strong national defense. In fact, I believe that our national defense is actually the most important thing that the federal government does. It's one of those things that the state government can't do. And so, yes, I want a strong national defense. But you have to ask yourself whether a $20 trillion debt makes us a stronger country or a weaker country. I think it was Admiral Milliken who said that the number one threat currently to our country is our national debt. There is this question of whether or not an insolvent nation can be a strong nation. So as we look through this, I think it'd be wise that we would look at this spending bill and say, this is not the way we should run our government. And we as Republicans, if we really truly are conservative, we should be putting forward something that's looking towards balance at the very least, instead of going in the opposite way.
Senator Rand Paul, as he spoke from the floor, outraged that the $400 billion bipartisan spending plan adds hundreds of billions of dollars to the nation's $20 trillion debt. Once he stepped aside, the Senate did pass the deal 71 to 28. Both sides got some of what they wanted for the GOP, huge increases for the Department of Defense. For Democrats, it was a big boost for domestic agencies, also funding for disaster relief, children's health care, and opioid addiction. And so, as we mentioned, that bill did go on to be signed then by the president. Frank Gaffney, president and CEO of Center for Security Policy, in his commentary today says this, farewell to the GOP majority. He said, once upon a time, congressional Republicans campaigned promising to limit the size of government, prioritize maintaining our defenses, preserve the rule of law, and balance the federal budget. They were rewarded with control of both houses and the presidency in 2016. The latest budget deal suggests the majority of the Senate GOP, and possibly most in the House, now stand for very different things. Indeed, the McConnell-Ryan Republicans seem increasingly indistinguishable from the Schumer-Pelosi Democrats in wanting to grow government, tie necessary defense spending to unwarranted massive growth in domestic expenditures, reward law-breaking immigrants with amnesty, and authorize vast increases in federal budget deficits. This is a formula for routes this fall as Republican base declines to turn out for Democrats in all but name. So mentions there's going to be some trouble at the polls coming up here this November. Very interesting. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, this is LifeNews.com, criticized politicians for not welcoming vulnerable immigrant children Wednesday, though she herself supports the destruction of millions of unborn babies' lives. But she went on this record-breaking 8-hour speech on immigration and deferred action for childhood arrivals, DACA. But in her speech, she said, whoever welcomes one of these children in my name and welcomes me, she's quoting from Mark 9:37, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but this one who sent me. She said, that's so beautiful, because they are saying is what you reject these newcomers, you're rejecting those who sent them. And then at another point, she quotes from Matthew 25:31-46, where Jesus told his followers that whoever helps the least of these brothers and sisters of mine is helping God. She also referred to the parable of the Good Samaritan. But Nancy Pelosi believes in the killing of unborn babies in the womb. Folks, it does not make sense. From Breitbart, the White House plans to request $3 billion in funding for President Trump's long-promised wall on the southern border in its upcoming budget, according to a senior administration official. The White House budget will be released on Monday, despite Congress currently negotiating a 2-year spending agreement as well. Let's see. This comes to us from CBN. People from around the world gathered in Washington, D.C. yesterday morning for the 66th annual National Prayer Breakfast. The president stressed the importance of religious freedom, reminded those present that America is one nation under God, saying our rights are not given to us by man. Our rights come from our Creator. No matter what, no earthly force can take those rights away, the president told the audience. But also speaking was Congressman Steve Scalise. You remember he was one that narrowly survived being shot last year at a congressional baseball event. Scalise had publicly praised God for helping him survive the shooting, saying previously, I'm definitely a living example that miracles really do still happen. He said this was a nation founded with a deep belief in God. And he pointed to the way that the founding fathers talked about faith and God as they were establishing a new nation. From the NewAmerican.com, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes says that there is evidence of collusion with Russia during the 2016 election, but it's not with the Trump campaign. He told Fox News there is a clear link between Democrats and Russia. Both recently revealed facts and history show that he is correct in his assertion. Nunes says that the real evidence points to the Hillary Clinton campaign, which hired a law firm, who hired Fusion GPS, who hired a foreign agent, who then got information from the Russians on the other campaign. Nunes said this is a clear link to Russia. Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel put forth a release yesterday saying that the text messages between senior FBI official Peter Stroik and Lisa Page, who at the time were involved in an extramarital affair, are blowing the lid off a DOJ-FBI cover-up that has the potential of being the biggest political scandal in American history. At the time of the text, Stroik was heading up the Clinton email probe and Page was an FBI lawyer. These alarming messages suggest the involvement of then-President Barack Obama, which leads us to ask, what did the president know and when did he know it? On September 2nd, 2016, Page wrote to Stroik about prepping then FBI Director James Comey because POTUS, that's President of the United States, wants to know everything we're doing. Yet, as reported by Fox News on April 10th of 2016, when President Obama was being interviewed by Chris Wallace, he said, I do not talk to the Attorney General about pending investigations. I do not talk to FBI directors about pending investigations. He said that on Fox News Sunday. He said, I guarantee that there is no political influence in any investigation conducted by the Justice Department or the FBI, not just in this case, but in any case. Matt Staver says, quote, it appears that President Obama once again lied to the American people. By the way, is coming up from the Conservative Post, of the 11 FISA court-appointed judges, 10 of them were appointed by Obama, including Rudolph Contreras, that granted the FISA warrant after another judge rejected it. He is also the same judge who had to recuse himself days after the Michael Flynn plea. This is yet another inconvenient fact that the media has not been wanting to disclose. We'll move on to another story, this one from WND.com. Liberal billionaire Tom Steyer, a friend and donor to Obama and Clinton, is hiring an army of more than 50 political operatives in a major campaign to help Democrats get control of the U.S. House this year and remove Trump from power. Need to impeach founder Steyer announced yesterday that he is hiring a team of 50 political and communication strategists to coordinate his campaign. The team, including 50 staff members, is adding thousands of new supporters to the impeachment movement every day, creating a digital army of activists who are mobilizing to take back the House of Representatives in the 2018 election and remove Trump from power, read a Thursday statement from Need to Impeach. From FoxNews.com, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the Russia probe, the deep state, of all the obstacles that could potentially thwart the Trump agenda, add to that the tempest, the flood of lawsuits now being plotted by blue state attorneys generals who have no secret of their disdain for the administration policies. The Democratic Attorneys General Association, the DAGA, it's a political fundraising group, touts the AGs as the first line of defense against Trump's agenda. To be sure, outspoken state prosecutors stalled many of the administrator's 2017 goals in court with a record number of lawsuits, and they're doubling down in 2018. You see, attorney general races are playing out in 32 states this fall, 14 seats held by Democrats, 18 by Republicans. They are focusing on winning races in Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Michigan, Nevada, Ohio, and Wisconsin. Here is a quote from Scott Will, executive director of the Republican Attorney General Association. He said, this is not about the rule of law or holding the line to stop the feds from preempting state laws. This is about power. Newsmax.com reporting in a presidential tracking poll released yesterday by Rasmussen. President Trump's approval at 48%, statistically tied with his disapproval rating of 50%. Incidentally, at this point, February 8th of 2010, under President Obama, his approval rating was 46%. His disapproval was 54%. Trump is tracking 2 points higher than him. And that's with a media that is 80% negative on the current presidency. Newsmax.com reporting that the U.S. economy growing faster later this year and the Federal Reserve will raise short-term interest rates at least 3 times, according to a survey of economists by the Wall Street Journal. And from Breitbart, fewer Americans than expected filed for unemployment benefits last week, pushing jobless claims down to their lowest level in 45 years. And coming from Reuters, British oil and gas company BP increasing investment in the United States after the lowering of tax rates under President Donald Trump. That was announced by Chief Executive Bob Dudley, mentioned that on Tuesday. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more stories here in our News Roundup Friday. We've got a lot of topics, a lot of issues. We hope you'll stay tuned. We'll give you opportunity to weigh in on these things later in the broadcast as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do comets come from?
Chris, comets pose a very difficult problem for long-age evolution. Many of these comets are short-lived. They last only a few trips around the sun, but yet our solar system is full of comets. Therefore, it can't be very old. Evolutionists have proposed a hypothetical source of comets called the Kuiper Belt. Photographs from the Hubble telescope seem to support the claim. Unfortunately, recent studies of these same photos declare that the Kuiper Belt has not been found. There is no source of comets which would keep our solar system supplied with them. The Bible says that the entire universe was created in creation week, along with everything else. It's not billions of years old, and the evidence that we see supports this. Everything goes back to Genesis, and so it should.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
Well, you're listening to a Friday News Roundup, and it looks like I've got more stories than time, so we're going to delve right back into it today on the broadcast to keep you informed on critical issues. An interesting story appearing on WesternJournal.com. A senior Department of Transportation official derided Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer Wednesday for his refusal to confirm the nation's top railroad safety regulator and suggested the partisan obstruction is placing rail passengers at risk. Did you know this was going on? Did you know that the Senate under Chuck Schumer has held up confirming the position of one who is to look after railroad safety and security? Ronald Baddowery, a 40-year-old railroad industry veteran, was unanimously approved to lead the Federal Railway Administration by the Senate Commerce Committee in August, last August, but Schumer has since blocked his confirmation twice in an admitted effort to secure federal funding to revamp a rail tunnel linking New York and New Jersey. Yeah, we'll put somebody in that post as long as you give me funding to put this rail link in. Deputy Secretary of Transportation Jeff Rosen, who sent a letter to Schumer January 31st, urging him to confirm Baddowery, told the Daily Caller News Foundation's Schumer's behavior is unacceptable considering the scourge of recent rail accidents. But folks, it doesn't matter about public safety, really, does it? It matters that we get money to do our pet projects. The Washington Free Beacon. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis told Congress Tuesday that the U.S. will deploy some small nuclear weapons on two new missiles to counter growing threats posed by Russia and China. The nuclear review calls for a modifying of a small number of submarine-launched nuclear ballistic missiles with smaller warheads. It also says the Pentagon will redeploy sea-based nuclear cruise missiles with small warheads. All sea-based nuclear weapons were deactivated beginning in the 1990s under the George H.W. Bush administration, but now planning to deploy some small nuclear arms. Coming from Breitbart, China is reportedly moving missile defense batteries and troops closer to its border with North Korea, a potential sign that Beijing anticipates either a large refugee wave north or a military disturbance triggered by the belligerence of communist dictator Kim Jong-un. From DefenseOne.com, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson plans to launch a new cyberspace and digital economy bureau, seemingly reversing course under congressional pressure after he shuttered the department's cyber coordinator's office in last August. Tillerson announced plans for the new bureau in a letter to House Foreign Affairs Chairman Ed Royce, delivered in the middle of a Tuesday hearing on a cyber diplomacy issue. The new bureau would cohesively unify the Office of the Coordinator for Cyber Issues and the Bureau of Economic Affairs Office of International Communications and Information Policy. In a historic first, the Army conducted a live fire exercise with a remote-controlled ground combat vehicle armed with a 50-caliber machine gun. It plans to conduct more exercises with more heavily armed ground robots within the next couple of years. They're holding robot drills, drills with ground robots that shoot. The Free Beacon tells us Iran announced Monday it's begun the mass producing of a new weaponized drone that carries smart bombs capable of precision strikes, according to the Islamic Republic's military leaders. Iran, which has engaged in a massive military buildup since receiving billions of dollars in cash windfalls as a result of the landmark nuclear deal, says that these advanced new drones will be delivered to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. Isn't that interesting? Thank you, U.S., for the money. Also coming to us from Breaking Israel News, the Israeli Defense Force is preparing for the largest parachuting exercise in recent years due to the tension near the northern border. The exercise is to be held in mid-2018 with lots of a massive parachute drop that's to take place. Let's turn to some other issues here. Child Evangelism Fellowship won a permanent injunction against the Indiana School District. This coming from Liberty Council and Indiana Federal District Court. has granted Child Evangelism Fellowship a permanent injunction against an unconstitutional policy that the school district of Pike Township used to discriminate against Good News Clubs. They're represented by Liberty Counsel. In violation of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the district previously required CEF to pay facilities use fees for Good News Club meetings while waiving the fees for similarly situated non-religious groups. Guess what? Against the law, Liberty Counsel wins again for CEF. This coming from Western Journalism. WesternJournal.com, NBC analyst and former NFL head coach Tony Dungy has come under fire this week for highlighting Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Nick Foles' Christian faith. Dungy, an outspoken Christian himself, has defended himself in the midst of the criticism, arguing that since Foles' faith is an important part of his life, it's a topic that's worth covering. From the Enterprise out of Massachusetts, two East Bridgewater, Massachusetts women tied up, burned, and disfigured a 5-year-old Randolph girl to rid her of a demon that was making her misbehave, according to East Bridgewater police. The women, who are facing multiple assault charges, also threatened to cut off the head of the girl's 8-year-old brother in what police describe as a Haitian voodoo ritual. The ritual was done upon the mother's request, police said. Interesting what's happening in South Africa. They're talking about day zero. This is a day in which the largest city, the Cape Town, South Africa, would become the first major city to run out of water. So the government of South Africa has chosen to appease the anti-Semitic BDS movement and its growing Muslim population by refusing to accept any help from Israel. Israel's offered to help. Israel has been the world leader in water recycling, water preservation, water, drip irrigation, and so much more. South Africa would rather put away that help they would rather go dry than to receive help from Israel. Oh, let's move to Macy's department stores. Yeah, this is a story telling us that Macy's is launching an Islamic supremacist hijab-friendly fashion line that will include Sharia-compliant body covering, modesty tops, pants, dresses, and loose-fitting garments worn by Muslim women. And ABC, the former U.S. retailer, will be the first to launch this new dress there. Interesting here as we see CARE, Council on Arab American Islamic Relations, holding a forum for Ohio's candidates for governor this weekend, Sunday, February 11th, holding this forum on issues that matter to our community and to all Ohioans. The forum, moderated by CARE, Columbus Legal Director. CARE, by the way, is still a terror-linked and, in fact, terror-listed Muslim organization. And very interesting that they are very much engrossed in politics and have a very vested interest in political outcomes here across the nation. This story coming to us from the Post Bulletin out of the Rochester, Minnesota area. Regina Mustafa says that she hopes to be a voice for all of Rochester. She's the founder of Community Interfaith Dialogue on Islam, announced this week that she's a candidate for Rochester mayor. She said, "I decided the mayoral race is the best for me. I've had a vested interest in city government for a while." Rochester, Minnesota, is the target there for her candidacy. Okay, also coming to us, this is from Pamela Geller. "An unusually large number of people from Minnesota have been tied to rising jihad recruitment, a new study shows. Specifically, leaders at George Washington University discovered that those in Minnesota, particularly in the Twin Cities area, have been involved in a curiously large number of jihad recruitment efforts." The Star Tribune also says that the travelers, American jihadists in Syria and Iraq, three terrorism scholars describe the Twin Cities cluster more akin to terror conspiracy hubs in Belgium and French neighborhoods than the most common one, and two off efforts more typically foiled by American law enforcement. So massive rate of terror recruitment going on in the state of Minnesota. This is a really, really bizarre story that came out today from Western Journal. Exporting companies are using Chinese ships, planes, and trucks to transport dead Americans across the world for research purposes, according to a Thursday report from Reuters. A Hong Kong-flagged cargo ship departed South Carolina in July, carrying 6,000 pounds of human remains valued at over $67,204. Relatives of the dead, meanwhile, did not realize that their loved ones' remains were being dismembered and sent to Europe and elsewhere, the report notes. Body brokers like Oregon-based MedCure rely on lax regulations to export body parts of deceased individuals to Mexico, China, Venezuela, and Saudi Arabia, among several other countries. The FBI raided MedCure in November, which culminated in a federal investigation, but families of the deceased shocked to hear that their husbands, fathers, and daughters being shipped overseas. Coming from LifeNews.com, a story this week, yesterday, President Donald Trump on track to become the most pro-life president ever. In January of 2018, the Department of Health and Human Services announced three major policy changes to protect freedom of religion and the rights of pro-life doctors and nurses, including forming a new Conscience and Religious Freedom Division, protecting Americans who have religious or moral convictions related to certain health care services as well. There is, of course, the ban. President Trump did ban U.S. aid for international abortions within a week of taking office. He did expand the Mexico City policy, now called the Protecting Life and Global Health Assistance, which bans U.S. funding for abortions overseas. The expanded policy now prohibits $9 billion in U.S. taxpayer money from funding foreign organizations that perform or actively promote abortion as a method of family planning. Have you heard about the new Gerber baby? The new Gerber baby? It's an interesting story, but the new Gerber baby is Lucas Warren, a one-year-old from Dalton, Georgia, who is the first baby with Down syndrome to be named a Gerber baby. Since the contest started in 2010, very outgoing, never meets a stranger, the mom said. He loves to play, loves to laugh, loves to make others laugh as well. But certainly just a cute little fella that they've got a picture of here. But as LifeNews.com says, applaud Gerber for making an all too rare, very positive statement about the inherent value of people with Down. So hats off to Gerber. West Virginia lawmakers advanced resolution this week to make it clear that their state does not recognize abortion as a right. The AP reported the proposed amendment to the state constitution passed the state Senate Judiciary Committee on Monday to amend the constitution. The measure must pass the Senate and House by two-thirds majority, then a voter referendum. It says nothing in this constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of an abortion. The people retain the right through their elected state officials and state senators to enact, amend, or repeal statutes regarding abortion, including but not limited to circumstances of pregnancy resulting from rape or incest, or when necessary to save the lives of the mother. That before West Virginia. Also here from LifeSiteNews.com, the Ohio Supreme Court upheld a 2014 state order shutdown regarding Toledo's last abortion center for violation of health laws in a 5-2 decision that was released. Abortion center Capital Care had been operating without a transfer agreement with a local hospital since 2013 in violation of a state law passed that same year. That's according to a press release from Created Equal. That's a pro-life group based in Columbus. And a Mississippi State House votes to ban abortion after 15 weeks. The vote was 79-31. This would make Mississippi the state with the most pro-life laws if it passes the Senate and if the governor signs it. Again, this would not allow babies conceived in rape or incest to be aborted after 15 weeks. And that bill's pending there as well. I've got a very interesting story I need to share with you after the break, so don't go away. This is Crosstalk on VCY.
Pressure is rising. The global atmosphere is morphing as never before. It's time to pay attention to world events to see how the stage is being set for the end times. In the book, End Times Supertrends, author Ron Rhodes presents 15 current trends that point ahead to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. End times apostasy, the rise of alternative religions, the severe moral decline, the deterioration of religious freedom, the rising persecution and martyrdom of Christians, escalation of cyber attacks, the growing nuclear and EMP threat, the coming cashless world, the rising use of biometrics, the Middle East conflict, the escalating hatred toward Israel, and more. End Times Supertrends is a fascinating book, as you will see all these issues coming together for God's appointed time. It is available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
I guess we just need another hour today because there's so much news, and I want to get to an important story that involves Walgreens in just a moment here. This is very troubling from NewAmerican.com. Montana's ACLU franchise has teamed up with abortion activist group Center for Reproductive Rights to sue the state of Montana to allow advanced practice registered nurses to perform abortions in the state. Montana law only allows physicians and physician assistants to perform the murders procedure, and only one other state, California, permits nurses to abort babies. But you know, sometimes you run out of doctors that are willing to do the killing, so now they want to expand this for nurses. The ACLU lawsuit was filed on behalf of two APRNs who would like to broaden their professional practices to include abortion. Montanans, you'll want to make note of that. Also, the LifeNews.com tells us the nation's largest abortion business appears to be abandoning many of its expensive brick-and-mortar abortion clinics and turning to technology to sell women dangerous at-home abortions. The abortion chain has maintained a steady number of abortions according to its annual reports, Planned Parenthood we're talking about. One of the ways it's doing this is through the expansion of telemedicine abortions, which are a cheaper way for the abortion chain to offer, but dangerous for women as well as their unborn babies. Cosmopolitan reports that Planned Parenthood plans to open 10 new telemedicine or webcam abortion locations this year to provide abortion drugs to women via video chat. Right now, there are 19 states that prohibit this dangerous practice, require women to see a doctor in person before having an abortion. By the way, keep in prayer this week, and at this time, the Choose Life license plates look like they are coming up in the committee, Transportation Committee in the state of Kansas. It was passed back in 2002, then vetoed by Governor Graves, but coming its way back through the Kansas legislative process. A California judge, this is WND.com, California judge has refused to advance a social agenda in his state that targets Christians who refuse to endorse homosexuality through their work. In this case, it was baker Kathy Miller of Tastery's Bakery who was put into the state's bullseye because she refused to use her artistic talents to promote the wedding of two lesbians. Well, the state asked Superior Court Judge David Lamp to issue a preliminary injunction ordering Miller either to create wedding cakes for same-sex duos or to be barred from serving anyone. But Lamp recognized the issue is not about discrimination against same-sex couples, saying the state is not petitioning the court to order defendants to sell a cake. The state asked this court to compel Miller to use her talents to design and create a cake that she has not yet conceived with the knowledge that her work would be displayed in a celebration of a marital union her religion forbids. For this court to force such a compliance would do violence to the essentials of free speech guaranteed under the First Amendment. Hats off to Judge Lamp or Lampy. Congratulations on having some common sense in that ruling. That's my opinion. Folks, have you heard about Walgreens? Walgreens, yeah. Walgreens pharmacies, you know, the corner of healthy and something else, whatever it is. Well, Walgreens has announced it is changing its bathroom policies. After, and I'm quoting here from LGBTQ Nation, Walgreens has announced it will change its bathroom policies after a transgender woman was discriminated against while trying to use a women's facilities in Hollywood last year. So this is one who identifies as a woman, was refused the facilities. She was on her way to L.A. Pride, stepped into a Walgreens store, asked an employer if they could use the bathroom, but was told that they would have to use the men's facility because, yes, the individual looked like a man. Well, the ACLU has gotten involved, and lo and behold, we find out Walgreens has issued a new policy. Matter of fact, I'm holding in my hands this policy. I believe it was put through quietly because it was done on November 21st, 2017. I say quietly because nobody knew about this. But the description is, the intent of this policy is to support transgender individuals in our stores and facilities and foster an environment of inclusion and mutual respect. Folks, I've read through this policy. I see no concern about the invading the privacy of others. I see nothing in here that talks about the privacy concerns of people who object to somebody else coming in the restroom of a different biological sex. As a matter of fact, this policy says this, and I'm reading directly, restroom accessibility. All individuals, this is from Walgreens, all individuals have a right to use restroom facilities that correspond to the individual's gender identity, regardless of the individual's sex assigned at birth. Can we get this straight, folks? Sex is not assigned at birth. No, it happens at conception, whether it is going to be XX or XY. That happens at conception. It's not assigned at birth. And yet Walgreens, that is to be a pharmacy dispensing medications, you would think they would know about medicines, have now said that according to their policy, and I'm going to read their policy again to you, all individuals have a right to use restroom facilities that correspond to the individual's gender identity, regardless of the individual's sex assigned at birth. And they say under gender identity, they give a definition, one's gender identity may not correspond to that person's sex as assigned at birth. Do you know if you're an employee and you don't abide by this, do you know the penalty? Listen to this. Anyone found to have violated this policy may be subject to serious disciplinary action up to and including termination of employment. Walgreens policy, effective date of 11/21/2017. If you'd like to share your concerns, maybe if you're a customer of Walgreens, or maybe you want to ask them about this policy that they put into place, you may want to call them 1-800-WALGREENS. That's 1-800-WALGREENS. If you are employed by Walgreens, they have a special employee relations number that they give for you to speak to your manager, your HR rep, or employee relations, and that employee relations number is 800-825-5467. That's 800-825-5467. That's for employees of Walgreens. If you're customers of Walgreens and you want to interact with them, you can call 1-800-WALGREENS. Well, I'm opening our phone lines here today on Crosstalk, and if you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, there's so much we did not get to, but our lines are open at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Call us here today on Crosstalk. Your comments that you may have on current event stories, maybe you want to comment on Walgreens and the decision that they have made to allow individuals to use the restroom facilities of the gender they perceive themselves to be. They're following Target's example in all of this. I mean, look what has happened to Target. Are we going to start seeing the closure of Walgreens stores taking place across the nation from parents who are concerned about having their child go in and use the restrooms there while they're shopping? I mean, there are many people that are frankly outraged at what's gone on in stores like Target and the policies that are there. What about the protections of those who send their daughter into the restroom who don't want somebody coming in that is a man? Let's begin with Dwayne calling from Milwaukee. Dwayne, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a comment about that Walgreens incident. I think that they should not have male individuals in the females' restrooms, no matter what if they changed their sex or however it came about. So I was just letting you know that.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know your thoughts, but just know this, you cannot change your sex. You cannot change what you are. You are either male or female. You cannot change back and forth. No matter what you do to your body, you are still male or female. Leroy is calling next in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air, Leroy.
Hey, Jim, I got a story for you this week. Got some good news. Bermuda has done something other countries failed to do. They have repealed same-sex marriage.
Hmm.
And that's, I guess the Bermuda Triangle is closed then.
Thanks for your comments here today, Leroy. DJ in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm listening to the program and the topic, and actually I've been waiting for this topic to come back so I could comment. I work for a large nationwide company in the U.S., and they have a policy like this where they allow with whatever gender you identify with, and you can use those restrooms. And I know me as an employee that doesn't believe in that, their policy is so strong that if I were to voice that opinion, no matter how professionally or lovingly or otherwise, that I disagree with that, that I would be terminated instantly.
Yeah, it's amazing, and thank you for sharing that, DJ, because that's exactly what Walgreens is clamping down, saying anyone found to have violated this policy may be subject to serious disciplinary action up to and including termination of employment. Don't you feel that infringes upon your rights and your identity?
Absolutely. The reason I know that it would be instant termination is I know somebody else that was terminated for just voicing that they didn't agree with it and didn't appreciate it, and they were terminated. So I keep that opinion to myself because obviously I need my job, and I like the company. So I have to say there are many things about the company I work for that are great. That is just one of the many things that they're trying to go the easy route, the comfortable route that everybody's going with these days instead of standing up for American Christian beliefs.
DJ, thank you for your call here today.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800. We got all our lines locked up there right now, Mary. Let's see. Yeah, you got all the lines locked. Let's see. We'll try and get this taken care of here. Let's do this, and then we'll try this. Okay, Courtney, we lost Courtney. Okay. Let's see. We'll try this.
Hang up and try again.
Okay. Well, we got some phone line problems here. Here today at Crosstalk. This is Crosstalk. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Mark from Illinois. Hey, Jim, how you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Hey, I was wondering, have you heard anything? I was going through YouTube one day, and I come across a little video about Queen Elizabeth claiming herself to be a direct descendant of Muhammad.
I've not seen anything like that.
Okay. I was wondering, I just thought it odd. I don't know if it's true or not. So thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's best to check those things out. But no, I can't give any validity to that. We've got Courtney calling from Miami, Florida. And Courtney, you're on the air. Hello, Courtney. Okay, line number one, go ahead. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is Mike. I'm on the road heading back to Florida. Transgender, it's been something that's been going on for a while. It does people's religious rights. I believe it was one of the Democratic representatives not too long ago who was for it, and an incident that happened to one of her grandchildren and then kind of put it too. But for bathrooms like Walgreens and all that, you know, they put locks on the door, nothing walk the door. You don't have to worry about anybody coming in.
But yeah, but some of these restrooms are not one-person units. I mean, they're multiple-person units. Would that not be a concern to you?
Yeah, definitely. I believe, I'm not for it for no means at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like anything else. They're going to keep shoving it down our throats until sooner or later people get tired of it and they're not going to do anything about it. Hmm. But the other side of that is that rights and everybody else is being infringed on.
Okay, thanks so much. Getting a lot of extra noise there as well. Thank you for your call. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more of your calls here on Crosstalk. 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. Well, I believe Russia is mentioned in the Bible. I also believe China is represented in the Bible. There are many nations listed in the scriptures as part of the last days nations. America, I don't see. What has happened to America? Well, we really don't know, but I do know this. I'm watching Russia and I'm watching China. Do you know these two superpowers have joined forces against America? They're working to undermine the American dollar as the world reserve currency and the petrodollar. Did you know that Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South America have merged together for a banking system to go against America? Yes, indeed. America seems to be in the crosshairs of Russia and China. Yet many Americans are not watching it. We are, because we understand some potential prophetic implications. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
Listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America, and that's technology. Having some problem with some phone lines here today, so I don't necessarily know who I'm talking to, but caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
God bless you, saints out there. This is Courtney. Am I on the air?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yesterday, they were talking about the church is growing weak and everything. The church isn't growing weak. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pray for our kids going to college that they eat the bread of life every day. We eat our food every day. We have to eat our spiritual bread every day. We have to stay in that word.
Yeah.
And as far as the man calling Donald Trump the Antichrist last week, he's not the Antichrist. The reason all these storms and things is God's trying to get our attention. I mean, we got to stay in the word and prayed up. That's why we got this chance to win souls. So God bless all you saints, and we're praying for your sons and daughters that's going to college.
Thank you for the call here, Courtney. Next caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I was just calling to find out about the bathroom situation at Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
If enough of us who stand up and write, stop being quiet about it and stop complaining about it. If we just stand up and do what is right, why don't we at some of these Walgreens stores, just let them know that there are people out there that don't want to go into that store and shop if they're going to have that kind of support.
Well, they do have a customer number, which is 800-WALGREENS, and certainly letting your voice be heard by them would be one avenue you have. I know that the employees have another number they can call through their human resources in that regard. But the question is, will people contact Walgreens and say they object to this? Are we concerned about our sons and our daughters going into the restrooms?
I will contact them. And I did want about the Rand Paul and about the bill that was just passed. I am 100% agreeing with Rand Paul. I think that he's doing a wonderful job, but I also agree with President Trump. I think he's doing a wonderful job, and there's just a lot of, fine line, with the bill that was passed. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is that spending is way out of control, and that's something Rand was wanting to call the attention to. And that, my thought is this. We have a group that said, put us in power and we're going to lead. We're going to bring this budget under control. We're going to cut back on wasteful spending. We're going to get, our budget balanced. And we've done anything but that. And we continue to fork more and more money out to record spending levels that should really cause all of us to be concerned, knowing where our deficit is at $20 trillion already. We're at a point in which we're causing, the future, trying to balance things on our children and grandchildren and great grandchildren as far as that's concerned. But when we have a group that has said that they are going to be fiscally responsible, we've seen anything but that.
Okay, so Trump could do better with that area because I don't sit there and watch everything that's going on with the money in Washington, But I'm sure that there are other things that they're overspending on that could be balanced.
Well, hugely. And this is really where the Congress and the Senate need to come forth. The president does not have line item veto. He could just veto this and say, no, I'm not going to approve this because you're putting out too much money for these other programs. That's something he could do, but he does not have line item veto authority as a lot of state governors do, so he has to accept or reject what they've done. But the work for this really needs to be done into the House and Senate. This is a Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell that need to take leadership of their own caucuses.
So really, if people want to get involved, they need to really contact their own governor.
They're congressmen and senators.
Okay.
They're congressmen and senators.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Okay. And let's go to Donald in Eau Claire. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon. Yes, finally. Anyway, regarding the Walgreens, I have found an article shared by some groups on Facebook this morning, and I've replied to it with my comments that the prescriptions still currently being filled at Walgreens should be transferred to some other pharmacies.
Hmm. Okay. That's your opinion on it, Don?
That's correct. Unfortunately, here in Eau Claire, with the Walgreens store, at the Walgreens store in my neighborhood, there is a CVS store that just opened up just over a year ago across the business highway from Walgreens. So a good alternative there.
Okay. So that you feel that strongly about it, Donald, that's
yes,
your course
I do.
Of action. Okay. Thank you for your call. Again, it's 1-800-WALGREENS, or their number is 800-925-4733. We have we don't have a caller there. Let's go to this caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes,
you're on the air. Go ahead.
My comment is like the one gentleman said that he didn't agree with having the the restrooms used for both sexes. But what are we going to do about it? You know, they're going to cram it down our throat till we just agree with it. And I guess where my problem lies is I think the Christians need to step up and start fighting the battle, and like the Democrats and those that believe the way they do, that are in a, that believe that it's okay to have that lifestyle, they fight doggedly. And I just think the Christians step back, because I know that people will even shop at Target when they're so, they don't care if their stocks are down or anything. They're going to, stay with their battle. But I just think the Christians need to step up. I just think we need to step up and start fighting and quit thinking, what are we going to do? Nothing can be done. I think that's what our problem is as Christians.
Thank you for your call here today. And folks, these are the issues that are before us right now. Next Tuesday, I believe it is, Peter LaBarbera is scheduled to be with us here on Crosstalk, and we're going to be talking about a number of issues of which the LGBT agenda has been just really being pushed and forced down the throats of the American people. And what Walgreens is doing is they're saying to their customers who really care about these issues, we don't care about you. We're going to go forth with this policy. Matter of fact, as we mentioned, anyone found to have violated their policy may be subject to serious disciplinary action up to and including termination of employment. That's from Walgreens, dated November 21st. I believe kind of went through quietly here because we're just finding out about it at this time, but it's going very public now as news media around the nation are picking up on the story. So, folks, we need to continue in prayer, don't we? Let's be faithful. Let's let our light shine until the Lord returns. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. It's Friday. Be sure you're in a Bible-preaching local church this Sunday.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.